walk the straight and narrow, and I've worn a rebel's brand. Sometimes I've had to go without for being my own man. I've rallied to the cause when I knew the cause was right. Yes, I've cut against the grain, but I've kept my peace of mind.
Michelle Franzen. Days after a massive earthquake struck Russia's east coast and triggered tsunami alerts for the U.S. west coast, residents in Southern California today rattled with a 4.4 magnitude earthquake. ABC's Alex Stone is in Los Angeles.
It was felt widely over areas of Southern California, centered east of L.A. Some close to the epicenter described it as a jolt. Others not so close said it was more like a rolling sensation. There are no reports of any damage or injuries. There have been several smaller aftershocks as well.
The White House announcing the U.S. and Mexico continue trade talks, but will extend the current deal for another 90 days. Many other countries are facing tariffs on its imports starting tomorrow. A SpaceX launch for NASA astronauts has been scrubbed for today, all due to weather. And in Florida, the Pinellas County Medical Examiner's Office released the results of the autopsy report for Hulk Hogan. The report shows he died last week from a heart attack. A cremation approval report also revealed Hogan battled leukemia. This is ABC News. Health officials are dealing with a Legionnaire's disease outbreak in New York City that has now turned deadly.
Legionnaire's disease is a type of pneumonia caused by bacteria that grow in warm water, the kind that thrive in plumbing systems, cooling towers, humidifiers, and the condensers of large air conditioners. Because of that, the New York City Health Department is checking the cooling systems of apartments in central Harlem, where more than 20 cases of Legionnaire's and at least one death have been reported. Buildings that tested positive for the bacteria are being notified. Legionnaire's does not spread from person to person, but several people in the same building can and have become infected. Sherry Preston, ABC News, New York.
The average rate on a 30-year U.S. mortgage dipped to the level 3 weeks ago. Now it's 6.72% from 6.74%, according to Freddie Mac. That slight drop, though, not enough to spark the lagging housing market, with many buyers on the sidelines due to high home prices and high borrowing costs. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Oh, I love this scene.
Yeah, man. I bet we could pull off a street race like this.
Dude, totally.
Hey, you know this is just a movie, right?
Whoa, what?
You try this in real life, you could kill someone, or even yourself.
Life's not like the movies. Avoid a life-changing consequence and slow down, because this is one disaster you can't outrun. Speeding catches up with you. A message presented by NHTSA.
Progressive knows when you're on your boat, you're already on vacation. And vacation you forgets all your worries. Vacation you doesn't even keep track of time and knows that time is a meaningless construct designed to control us, man. But regular you knows you don't want to be too far out in the water after the sun goes down, because vacation you doesn't know how to navigate in the dark yet. Vacation you and regular you really need to get on the same page. So bundle your boat with your home or auto policy and earn an automatic discount from Progressive. And spend the savings on the both of you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Tad Ayler. Milwaukee County officials take a big step forward to secure the future of the Mitchell Park Dome, signing off Wednesday on $30 million as the county's contribution to the dome's reimagined plan. County Exec David Crowley says the nonprofit Milwaukee Domes Alliance will have to meet financial goals before any county funds are released.
We're going to continue to work, but when it comes down to the fiscal realities facing Milwaukee County, we know that is going to take greater partnerships.
The Domes Conservatory is a popular attraction for residents and visitors alike, but it's been in disrepair for years. The first phase of the six-year, $115 million project would start in 2027. A bill prohibiting stock trading by members of Congress advances out of a U.S. Senate committee. That's despite a no vote from Ron Johnson. The Wisconsin Republican says the bill makes it unattractive for people to run for office and is unnecessary.
I can imagine all kinds of unintended consequences. You could relabel this law, quite honestly, the Career Politician Protection Act. So again, we have plenty of protections. We have the disclosure. I voted no last time. I'm a strong no this time, even stronger this time.
Johnson was one of seven no votes on the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. The bill's author, Missouri's Josh Hawley, was the only Republican voting yes. No Wisconsin farms have tested positive in the latest outbreak of avian influenza.
According to the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, the USDA reports one case of highly pathogenic avian influenza in a Pennsylvania poultry flock and three cases in livestock in California, all within the last 30 days. No Wisconsin farms have tested positive, and DATCAP is offering support to improve and maintain biosecurity at farms and dairy processors. Find out more and see the state's milk testing records online at datcp.wi.gov. Raymond Newpert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Now's the time of year when most propane companies send out contracts for next year. But before you make a commitment, ask yourself, are you happy with the service you received? I mean, it's easy now, but what about during the coldest days of winter? Chippewa Valley Energy provides propane and fuel to over 13 counties in western Wisconsin. Most importantly, Chippewa Valley Energy brings you dependable deliveries with 24-hour service, no matter what the weather. And when it comes to home heat, Chippewa Valley Energy features a scheduled delivery program perfect for today's lifestyle. Visit their Facebook page or website, ChippewaValleyEnergy.com. Your energy choice made easy. Chippewa Valley Energy.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Hazy sunshine today with thick wildfire smoke prompting an air quality alert. Highs today will hit the mid-70s, and we slide to the low 50s overnight. Fortunately, tomorrow it does look like the wildfire smoke lingers. We'll still be comfortable, though, with highs in the upper 70s. Bathroom remodels for only $99 a month. Call BCI Bath & Shower, 1-800-329-4115. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
On calves during weaning, move to an update about getting something done legislatively to fix Prop 12. And then we'll get reaction to the Fed's decision to hold interest rates steady and what it might mean to ag bankers.
Live, shaking the trees, but not too hard. Via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Matt Grill from the National Pork Producers Council. Then it's Tanner Emke from Covank, and directly following the news, Angie Stump Denton from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Oh, yeah, man, what a beautiful morning up here in northeast Iowa.
Samesies, bro.
It is gorgeous. We're sitting up here at 69 degrees. The humidity is low. The windows are open in the house. We're airing things out. It's gorgeous,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. I took the dog out late last night right before bed, and it was hot yesterday still.
Yeah.
I stepped outside and absolutely said a prayer of thank you, Lord. It was
yes.
Like 12 degrees cooler, and it's even cooler this morning. Very pleased and grateful for that.
Yeah, it is some welcome relief out there, and it's going to stick around. It's going to stick around for a few days.
I like the sound
the
of that.
The heat is coming back. We know that, but these really nice conditions are going to stick around for a while. Yeah. All right, welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday morning. Man, we got a lot of ground we're going to cover this morning.
Yeah, we really do.
Yeah, the conversation with Matt Grill about Prop 12, we go in some different directions in this conversation, and we're covering this issue from several different angles, because there was a hearing on it just last week. You would think that after 2 years after the Supreme Court upheld Prop 12, that the industry would just be moving on. But it's not, and it really can't. It can't. We need to do something to stop what could become a patchwork of rules, laws, and regulations that become unworkable. So we're going to cover that ground with Matt coming up here in the next segment. We've got Angie coming up in just a couple of minutes. But first, let's go ahead and get to the news.
Chip, the National Weather Service is looking for heavy rain and isolated severe thunderstorms, which may cause flash flooding in the northern mid-Atlantic today. The mid-Atlantic and southeast heat wave is slowly easing while cooler, drier air spreads across the central and eastern United States for the start of August. Critical fire conditions persist in the Pacific Northwest and Four Corners regions due to dry storms and gusty winds. 73 degrees overcast here in the city of Fountains, Kansas City. Loving every second of it, brother.
Yep, no doubt.
December corn futures were unchanged. Novi beans unchanged. Winter wheat futures were slightly higher. The U.S. dollar was slightly higher, with crude oil futures under light pressure just ahead of the open. You like our setup here so far today, Chip?
Well, it's not doing anything to impress me too much. We've got corn is trading. It's slightly mixed with a little bit of strength in the front month contract, but the new crops are lower. Beans are lower. Meal's trying to work to the upside with bean oil lower. Wheat's lower. I'm not real impressed yet.
Fair enough. Well, private exporters reported a whole list of sales activity. 100,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Colombia for the 25-26 marketing year. 140,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to South Korea. There's South Korea again during the 25-26 marketing year. 136,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations during the 25-26 year. And 100,000 metric tons of hard red winter wheat for delivery to Nigeria during the 25-26 marketing year. Chip?
Yeah, framework deal with South Korea. I thought we had already gotten the framework deal done with South Korea, but they're announcing it again. A lot of activity ahead of tomorrow's deadline. It's probably some feel-good action.
Well, according to World Weather Inc., quote, August is one of those months that normal rainfall is rarely enough to counter evaporation, and net drying tends to occur in more summers than not. For that reason, they say producers and traders should anticipate less soil moisture at the end of August than there is today. They're not saying necessarily that we're short on moisture in most areas. However, August could be a net negative for moisture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the temperatures are what really matters, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Well, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell shrugged off pressure from the White House and rejected arguments from an interest rate cut from two dissenting Fed officials, saying the U.S. Central Bank needs to stay on guard against any problematic inflation. Gold buying by central banks and jewelers eased in the second quarter amid recent record high prices for the yellow metal. Central banks bought 166.5 tons in the three-month period. That's one-third less than in the first quarter, bringing purchases for the first half of the year to the lowest since 2022. This, according to the World Gold Council. I guess even in gold, Chip, high prices cure high prices, eh?
I guess, yeah, no doubt.
The International Food Council reports declining confidence in the U.S. food system among consumers. According to a survey taken in March, only 55% of U.S. consumers are confident in the safety of the food systems in place. Chip, that's down from 62% in 2024 and from 70% in 2023. Among respondents, the top three issues for consumers were foodborne illnesses, carcinogens in food, and pesticide residue.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Angie. Angie Stump-Denton, the editorial director at Drovers. Good morning, Angie. How are you?
It's a beautiful day in Kansas, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Talk to me about this series that you did on weaning calves and keeping the stress levels down. It seems to be getting a lot of attention.
It is. I just posted the third one in the series. There's going to be five total articles focused around weaning and those strategies as we get ready here to start weaning those spring calving cows. or calves off the spring calving cows here in the next month or so. But the newest one is on the nutrition strategies and what that means, the importance of feeding them correctly, getting them set up to succeed when you take them off mom.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so much of this is in the prep work, you know, making sure that those calves are used to going to the bunk, make sure that they've got fresh water. Basically make them as comfortable as you can when they move into a new environment and away from mom.
That's right. And reducing that stress as much as possible. With the series, I've been talking to four extension bee specialists across the U.S. and sharing their tips and strategies. One thing that they really suggest, if possible, if you do a pre-weaning creep feed, use that same feed at weaning time so they get used. You're not making huge changes in their life, in their diets there at weaning time. You know, and a key thing to think about as a bee producer is one size doesn't fit all. So work with a nutritionist or a feed specialist and help develop that ration that will work for your cow herd in your environment to get those calves set up to be profitable in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad used to pour a little bit of molasses on top of the feed and get them running to that bunk as soon as we weaned them. It was that was a stroke of genius right there. Angie, thank you so much. We'll talk to you later.
Have a great day, Chip.
All right. Get more on that story and a whole lot more at www.drovers.com. Okay, coming up next, we're going to talk about Prop 12. What's the status and what is the status of legislation to potentially offset Prop 12? We've got Matt Grill next.
Hear that? Those are Pioneer brand soybean and corn fields, the number one seed brand in the U.S. ready to harvest. The combine reaps and separates row after row of innovative genetics. Soybeans fall into bins and bounce off the tin with unbeatable yields. Pioneer corn and soybean seed is the number one brand in the U.S. This is what it sounds like to plant number one. Learn more at pioneer.com/topcrop.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance.
helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.55% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday morning. California's Prop 12 is back in the spotlight, and it's time to get a status update on what's going on. Joining us to do that is Matt Grill, Senior Director of Congressional Relations for the National Pork Producers Council. Matt, welcome. It is good to talk to you again. How are you?
Good, Chip. Glad to be with you, and glad to be talking about a really important issue for producers.
Yes, it absolutely – well, and for consumers. This is an incredibly important issue, isn't it?
Yep. Sometimes there's a distinction, but I don't know. It seems what's good for consumers is good for producers and vice versa. So
yes,
these issues are very intertwined.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Okay. I want to start with this one. I think the House Ag Committee recently had a hearing to examine the implications of Prop 12. What did we learn from that hearing?
Well, I think first and foremost, we're extremely grateful for Chairman Thompson putting such a spotlight on the issue. I mean, a full committee hearing on a single topic, even one as big as and important as Prop 12, doesn't happen every day. So we're very grateful for his commitment. What we know is that there is still a lot of issues in rural America that need to be addressed in a farm bill. What some of the biggest issues and that will be faced in this Farm Bill 2.0, as it's being called, is going to be Proposition 12. So we're glad that the committee is out here doing their due diligence, doing serious work on an issue that is so critical to agriculture. And I think what we learned, and hopefully what others have learned, it's something that we've known at MPPC for a long time, is that this is not a partisan issue. Whether you are compliant, whether you're not compliant, there's complications here. And we saw that from Chairman Thompson to Secretary Rollins to President Trump to President Biden and Secretary Vilsack to Ranking Member Angie Craig, who said any true representative of farm country knows that Proposition 12 is a problem for producers. Okay. And so we understand that there's this bipartisan attention, and we got to get to that bipartisan solution. And hopefully this was a constructive step along the pathway. And we were very grateful on MPPC side to have both a producer and staff representation on that witness panel.
Okay. Now, you know that there are producers out there that are listening to this, and there are even consumers that are listening to this, and they're thinking to themselves, I thought the Supreme Court handled this 2 years ago. But in that decision, what they basically said was, Congress, this is something that you should have dealt with earlier before it even got to the Supreme Court. So we're going to leave the door open for you to deal with it, you know, despite the fact that the Supreme Court upheld Prop 12. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah. And in our estimation, yes, that is. I mean, it is clear in the Constitution that Congress has the authority to regulate interstate commerce. That is laid out clear as day. And what the Supreme Court said, people get it mixed up because they decided that Prop 12 was fine. They decided that Congress needed to act if something was going to be done about this. In the majority opinion, Justice Gorsuch said, and everyone agrees, that Congress has the authority to regulate the interstate commerce of pork as they have done on many other subjects. And so, to say, well, the Supreme Court has dealt with this, therefore Proposition 12 is all good and it's all upheld. I think that is a miscategorization and not the full truth of what the Supreme Court decided.
Exactly. I agree. You mentioned this, that we thought, I think the whole industry thought at a couple of different times that there was going to be a legislative fix passed, and it came in continuing resolutions, farm bill that passed the House last year. Thought it was going to happen someplace. What is the status of a potential legislative fix?
Yeah, great question. And we're still waiting on that farm bill. You're correct. MPPC was successful in working with Chairman Thompson to include and protect language that would have provided that legislative certainty to producers. Mind you, while letting California keep Prop 12 for their own producers, right? And yeah. So MPPC has no problem with that. And we worked hard with the chairman to support that provision, protect that provision. Now, obviously, as we all know, cut to the end of the story, the Farm Bill never made it through last Congress. And so we're back here. Some Farm Bill provisions have been handled in the one big, beautiful bill, but we're still waiting on Farm Bill 2.0. Chairman Bozeman and Chairman Thompson are still committed to that effort. And I think the chairman, as has been said in other reported media, is committed to this issue on Prop 12 and is one of the big three topics he's talking with his caucus about that need to be done in Farm Bill 2.0. There's a lot of things that got out there from crop insurance and reference prices and animal health funding that MPPC secured and we're very grateful for in the one big beautiful bill. But there's a lot out there that doesn't have to do with money, but has everything to do with rural America. And so we're pushing for that Farm Bill 2.0. It's important. Hopefully we see some action in the fall. But this is something that Chairman Thompson's not letting go.
Okay, so the language that Chairman Thompson used regarding Prop 12 in that Farm Bill that passed the House last year, is that what NPPC wants to see going forward?
NPPC supported that provision 100%. Okay. It preempted Prop 12 for livestock, poultry, and dairy if you are out of state. It let California keep Prop 12 for California. God bless them. But for the rest of the country where this is a big problem, it provided that protection. And so that's something we definitely support. We're equally as thankful and grateful to Senator Ernst, who's carrying legislation that would preempt Prop 12 for agricultural products over on the Senate side. Look, the deal is, and the bottom line is, whether you are compliant, whether you're not compliant, whether you just have common sense, you can't have a 50-state patchwork. There's bipartisan agreement on that. That's the number one thing that MPPC needs to solve. We supported Section 12007 in the last Farm Bill, and we're working with the chairman to make sure that we can support his legislative answer in whatever Farm Bill comes next. And the Senate, we will be eager partners on that side as well.
Okay. I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit. I want to come back to some standalone bills, but it sounds to me like you think the best way to handle this is as an attachment to a Farm Bill 2.0 or some other must-pass piece of legislation rather than a standalone bill.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Washington isn't taking up many standalone bills these days.
Right.
I mean, just based on the way that Washington works today, your best bet is to hitch a ride on a larger parcel. And look, the Farm Bill is what we've used to set agriculture policy in this country. It is a five-year process. We can say that's good. We can say that's bad. But it's what we've been doing. And what better vehicle, what better legislative package to address this issue for rural America than the Farm Bill?
Yeah, I'm with you. Representative Ashley Hinson, my representative up here in Northeast Iowa, has introduced the Save Our Bacon Act. Are there elements in that that need to be incorporated into the past language?
So the Save Our Bacon provision, we applauded that. We are very thankful to see Representative Hinson move that. And what that is taking the provision from the last Farm Bill and making that standalone legislation. And so that is something that MPPC supports. We think Congresswoman Hinson is trying to strike that right tone because this is a complicated subject. We learned that in the hearing. We saw that on full display. There are states' rights conversations, federalism conversations, interstate commerce. The Congresswoman is trying to strike the right tone, just like the chairman. She protects states' rights. She believes in states' rights. But she also believes in common sense and making sure that an industry has the certainty it needs so that everyone's protected, consumers or producers. And so we very much support that bill. She is codifying what the chairman moved forward. And we think it's a very common sense, measured, and surgical approach that addresses the problem.
All right. So as of right now, Prop 12 continues. Californians are going to have to pay more for pork. We've got some producers out across the country that are compliant with Prop 12, some that have decided there's no way we're going to do that, and I get all of that. I mean, those are all decisions that are legitimate decisions, but the real issue is that one state should not be allowed to determine how business is conducted in another state. That's the bottom line here, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, that's the heart of it all, and I think if you listen to our producer witness, our vice president, Pat Hoard, who was in that committee hearing, he is someone who is compliant. He is someone who has made significant investments, made that choice. And I think if you talk to Pat, one of the fears that we hear from folks who have converted but still have problems with Prop 12 is that investment's not secure if other states can change the rule on you. And I think that's reflected in Ranking Member Craig's remarks that any true representative, if you represent producers, if you represent rural America, whether they have complied or not, they can acknowledge the problems that this thing has opened up. And so no one's protected until we solve that issue. And if one state can dictate producers' behavior and outside of their state, it creates a real problem. And
that's
if you've made an investment, we got to protect it too. You may like the premium you get, but the risk of uncertainty can be so great, and that premium is not promised.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you. Matt Grill, Senior Director of Congressional Relations for the National Pork Producers Council. We'll be right back with more AgriTalk.
Hi, I'm Kendall Bonds, Director of Product at Peterson Farm Seed. I joined the team earlier this year, and I'm excited to be part of a company that puts agronomy front and center. Because farmers aren't just picking hybrids or varieties anymore. We're managing IDC and white mold and tar spot and a dozen other curveballs that Mother Nature throws at us. That's why our lineup is built on more than 40,000 replicated plots in 2025. Real data and real fields right here in the Northern Plains. And our expanded agronomy team is out walking those fields, keeping an eye on what's showing up and what's standing strong. We trust our genetic suppliers, but we don't take their word for it. We verify everything in local plots before it goes in a bag with our name on it. If you haven't worked with Peterson Farm Seed yet, now's a great time. Our welcome mat is always out. Give us a call or visit petersonfarmsseed.com.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August and September milk up 4, August at 1711, September 1737, October up 9 to 1798, November milk up 7 at 1817. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live and feeder cattle markets are moving mostly lower. Some of this is a profit-taking setback after some big, big gains. Last 3 days have been contract highs. It was inevitable that we would see a little bit of a setback in the cattle markets, even though the demand fundamentals remain strong. Hogs moving mostly higher, another day of some higher pork cutout and also some higher cash pork prices helping to support futures. August live cattle down 95 cents to 232.12. August feeder cattle down 7 cents to 338.87. August hogs up 65 cents to 107.67. Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets relatively flat, soybeans slightly lower, wheat also slightly lower. While there have been some more trade deals announced, this one, the new one with South Korea, the markets don't really care about all of the different trade deals at the moment. The driver of the grain markets overall is the weather and the overall crop potential, which continues to look very good. New crop corn down a half to 411 and three quarters. New crop beans down 3 3/4 to 992. September wheat down 2 to 521 and 3/4. Minneapolis wheat September down 3/4 to 576 and a half.
Hey, how was your day?
Great. Don't forget, Sam's practice starts an hour early.
I'm going right now.
Sam, are you ready? Coming.
I have that meeting at school. I'll see you later.
Life is busy. Your healthcare should keep up. At Amplify Health in Mondovi, we get it. Our primary care is built around what you need when you need it, with same-day in-person or video appointments available. Because sometimes feeling seen and understood means actually being seen. A little empathy changes everything.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength
is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us. Fed held interest rates steady yesterday. Let's talk about why. Let's talk about, was it the right move? Let's bring in Tanner Emke, the lead economist for grains and oilseeds at CoBank. Tanner, it's good to talk to you. How are you?
Doing great, Chip. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you know, yesterday after Joe reached out to you to come on to the show, I remembered that you and I are going to be together at the Moving Iron Summit down in Austin in September 24th, right?
That's right. We're going to see you in Austin. Hopefully it's going to be cooler weather there this time around. every time I go down there, it's always baking.
No doubt. So, yeah, I looked that up over the break there because thought I remember that. If you want more information on it, go to the events tab at farmjournal.com and you can get more information on the Moving Iron Summit there. Tanner, the Fed held interest rates steady, 4.25% to 4.5% on the Fed funds rate yesterday. Does that make sense to you?
Based on what the market was anticipating coming into the meeting, that was not a surprise at all that the Fed was going to sit on their hands again and wait for more data to come in. I mean, the Fed is just dealing with so much, Chip. They're stuck between that proverbial rock and a hard place. You've got some early signs, again, that inflation might be coming back. And, of course, the Fed can't let that happen. That's their mandate. They got to maintain stable prices. But at the same time, there's some signs of the slowing economy. We can talk about GDP here in a minute if you want. But on the labor market, some signs there that, although we are experiencing very low unemployment, there are signs that it's coming up and that hirings are slowing down. And so they got to balance that as well. Do they need to cut rates to stimulate the economy to make sure that we have full employment? So they're still walking that tightrope, a very high tightrope. There's not a lot of room for error here for what the Fed wants to do, because if they start cutting rates too early, they could reignite inflation yet again. But at the same time, they want to have a full employment, and they don't want those numbers to go up too fast on unemployment.
Yeah, Tanner, this rock in the hard place is they're looking at data that's available to them, so lagging indicators, yet they're trying to anticipate some of the potential impacts of the trade issues and trying to put it together, and they, to me, they've kind of got a deer in the headlight look to them right now.
I totally agree. Well, that's the thing about tariffs. It takes several months sometimes for the tariffs to finally flow through into the numbers. The rule of thumb I've heard, 6 to 18 months before those numbers really start to show up, because what's going on is you've got a lot of trading, or horse trading, if you will, on these tariffs between suppliers, between companies that are importing, the companies that are exporting, and the consumer. Who's going to eat the tariff first? Okay. And they may, the importer, whether let's say it's Walmart or it's Amazon, they may call up the supplier and say, hey, listen, I need you to help me out this time. Can you be the one to eat the tariff first? And then they stockpile, and they stockpile the warehouses, and then they deplete those inventories, and then the supplier says, "Okay, now it's your turn to eat the tariff." Okay, so then the importer eats it. Now both sides have done their job, and now at some point, then they say, "Okay, now it's time for the consumer to eat the tariff, and we're going to raise prices on them." And that's what the Fed is really trying to figure out, where that tariff is in the supply chain, who's paying it right now. And they don't want to see that tariff go all the way down to the consumer to see retail prices coming up.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
And who knows how long that's going to be.
Right. Yeah, but you're exactly right. It's going to take some time to get to that point. First look at the second quarter GDP. You mentioned it up 3%. That's a pretty good number, but when you dig into
it. That's the big thing. Yeah. It's the but. Right. It's the but.
Yeah.
It goes back to what we were just talking about, Chip. At the start of the year, Q1, if you remember, that was negative growth.
Right.
And why was that? Well, it's all how GDP is simply calculated, and imports are a negative on that calculation. And so what did companies do when the trade wars started? They stockpiled. They had huge imports. In preparation of the trade war, they didn't want to pay tariffs on imports, and so they stockpiled. And because of that, that drove Q1 GDP into the negative. Now, here we are back with Q2, a solid 3% growth. Well, what's going on there? Well, now it's the reverse. Because all these companies had such big imports in Q1, they didn't need to import in Q2. They still got a lot of products sitting in inventory out in the warehouse, and so they pulled back on the imports. And again, that's just a calculation. Because imports dropped so much, there was less of a negative calculation on the GDP, and that's what lifted GDP to 3 this right. time. So really, to get a sense of where we are, you got to look at Q1 and Q2 together to understand what's going on there. And what you look at underlying all of this is the consumer. How is, you know, our economy is 70% consumption.
Right.
So what's the consumer doing? Irrespective of what's going on with imports, and consumption is slowing down. That's been slowing down for quite some time. That's not a news story. That's been going on pre-Trump administration. So I think that needs to be taken into context. But so strip out the import chaos that's going there, Chip, and you see a slowing U.S. economy.
Okay, slowing U.S. economy. And a lot of times we'll see the ag economy going one direction while the general economy is going in a different direction. But they both seem to be slowing at the same time here, Tanner. I sure don't like the feel of it.
Yeah, it's not a good feeling one way or the other. You know, we want a healthy U.S. consumer buying our products. Yep. Right now, I think that story is showing up in beef. You talk about quite a bit. I mean, it's a phenomenal story there. And why the U.S. consumer just is still bellying up to the table and having another slice of beef there. And I think that's the positive story here, the positive indicator of what's going on with the U.S. economy. You guys talk about it here all the time. You know, there's stress out there, more so on the crop side. The livestock side of the ag balance sheet in the U.S. is very strong. So really the story here is what's going on the crop side. And there's clearly some stress going on there, out there among farm loan or farm bankers and farm credit. There are some early signs, Chip, of some stress of non-performing loans ticking up very slightly. It's not what you want to see, but the stress is definitely there on the crop side. It's showing up.
Are the ag bankers themselves, the ag banks, are they still solid, or is the stress mounting there as well?
It's all going to come back to the health of the producer, right? Because that's the customer for the bank. And the balance sheets there are fairly strong. The banks are fine. Loan volume is up. I haven't heard any problems at all of liquidity, not in the commercial banks. But, you know, loan volume is up, and that's generally a positive for the lenders. So I don't think there's any trouble there with banks at all. I think what the banks are really questioning right now is the financial condition of farmers. And right now, obviously, you know, commodity prices are low. Production costs have been resilient, in some cases going up. That's a concern. But land values are holding strong. And I think that's where the farmer and the banks are both very thankful. You've got a lot of collateral there.
Yeah. Yep. And you know why I was asked that question. Now, I mean, if all of a sudden the ag banks are under stress, that's when it really becomes stressful on farmers that might be struggling a bit out there to make their payments, right?
Yeah, and there's we're far from having a 1980s situation.
Right,
we're closing banks. We are a far cry from that, for sure. We've got a long ways to go before we get to that point. I wouldn't think that that's anything that we'd be concerned about this year or next year or anytime soon. But I think the space is pretty healthy from what I'm hearing and seeing. I'd say that, you know, we are seeing some signals though from our customers that are that are directly affected in terms of, sales to farmers. We're talking about ag equipment dealers, input suppliers. The early signs there is that there's definitely some increasing stress. And I would say from what I'm hearing from here at CoBank and from out there in the industry, the stress really is showing up big time in ag equipment sales.
Yes.
Ag equipment space is feeling it. You're seeing it show up in lower prices on used and new machinery. The rebates are up on new machinery. So the stress is clearly there. I think that's probably an early indicator of where we're at as an industry.
All right. 30 seconds. What do you want to see the Fed do with interest rates going forward?
Oh, geez. Well, obviously, lower rates would help out a lot of folks out there struggling with debt if they've got a high level of debt and they're making payments. But I'd be concerned about going back to what Jay Powell was talking about yesterday. They have to be careful about the timing, about the efficiency, if you will, of the rates and of the policy rate. And we don't want to ignite inflation again because we're already dealing with high costs right now in farming. We don't need those costs to go up higher.
Exactly. Tanner, great conversation, man. Great insights. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Chip. Anytime.
You bet. Tanner Emke, lead economist for grains and oilseeds at CoBank. All right. A couple of good conversations there. When we come back, Davis and I will pull some highlights.
My husband is a...
The success you've already had matters at University of Maryland Global Campus because we're a school for real life. An accredited state university, UMGC lets you earn up to 90 credits toward a bachelor's for prior learning and relevant life and work experience, or transfer up to 12 credits toward a master's. We offer affordable tuition and online and hybrid courses. Classes start August 13th. Apply now and save with no application fee. Learn more at umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-296-1251. 800-296-1251. That's 800-296-1251.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $40 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $18 a month, a savings of nearly $300 a year.
Whether you need a $100,000 policy or a $10 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. In a hurry? Don't worry. With SelectQuote, you can get up to $2 million in instant, affordable, same-day coverage with no medical exam.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-637-9116. That's 1-800-637-9116. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-637-9116.
Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
Me now, Austin Smuck. Austin is an agronomist with independent seed company, Champion Seed. Austin, how has the soybean season been overall for growers?
Soybeans so far, I think, have probably been lacking a little bit. We had some cooler temperatures early, and I think that maybe the soybeans just kind of lagged a little bit, but now we're getting a good amount of rain. We're getting some really good heat that they're just really taking off and flourishing. Now we're getting into kind of that canopy time coming into flowering, and I think that's going to be a big time now that growers need to be really walking their beans and kind of really paying attention to them now with all the excess of some moisture in areas that are going to bring in some mold such as frog eye leaf spot and some white mold issues.
Okay, white mold. I don't like that one bit. What should growers be looking for when they go out and scout for white mold?
So obviously a common sign is going to be that fuzzy white growth on the stem of the soybean plant. Some earlier kind of detections are going to be great white lesions that kind of appear on the stem and nodes. Infected plants are going to be kind of starting to wilt. And then guys that maybe missed that early kind of sight, they're going to really see it later in the season when you're going out looking at a green soybean field and you're going to have a bunch of dead plants out there. So that'll be kind of a late interaction, but we'll be able to see it then for sure.
Yeah. Hey, Austin, how can farmers learn more about diseases that might be affecting their areas or maybe even connect with a local expert?
Well, they can go on to plantchampion.com, and then they can also then on the website find your local champion seed dealers where they can kind of reach out to those guys and see what they've been seeing in the area.
Fantastic. Thank you, Austin. That is agronomist Austin Smuck with Champion Seed.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day. And we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AGRITALK for a 50% discount. Go to farmjournalyieldacademy.com. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Thanks for spending some of your Thursday morning with us here. Your pal, Davis Michelson, along with Chip Flory.
Yeah.
I want to get to this Prop 12 stuff that we just discussed. Important things there. But here's another one. We didn't get to this in the news, and I want to bring it out because there's an opportunity for listeners to gather some information on their own here, and we are all about that. So here we go. The Screwworm Coalition of Texas, a coalition of 13 Texas landowner, livestock, equine, and wildlife groups, launched a new website to deliver reliable information about the New World Screwworm. The new online resource offers the public and media easy access to factual information and serves as a platform to dispel rumors and correct misinformation. All right, here you go. More information is available at screwwormtx.com. screwwormtx.org. It's got a W for both screw and worm, so it's triple
right.
W, screwworm with two W's, TX as in Texas at the end, screwwormtx.org. You'll get the newest updates, resources, educational materials on the New World Screwworm. Knowledge is power. Education leads to success. Chip, this is important here. If you're concerned about this, screwwormtx.org has something for you.
Yeah, I'm at the site right now. It shows you how to identify the screwworm flies, how to report if you are suspicious that maybe you saw an infection. This is how you report it. And, of course, you can learn about the pest. And, boy, biggest thing on there is how do we stop New World Screwworm from making it into the state. Yeah,
yep.
Good. That's a good find there, dude.
Sure thing. We all, I know personally I could always use a little more knowledge, you know. There's just never enough.
No doubt.
Prop 12 back in the news. We spoke with Matt Grill, MPPC Senior Director of Congressional Relations. Now, can you just help me with one little piece of the story that I'm kind of missing?
Okay.
And that's the Supreme Court ruling.
Yeah.
Can you help kind of fill in what happened with that ruling? I know you guys talked about it. I kind of don't get it.
Okay. Well, the Supreme Court ruled that California can indeed put the rules, regulations of Prop 12 in play. They can do that. But when they wrote the majority decision, Gorsuch came out and said, but listen, the Constitution says that Congress can write laws that prevent this kind of thing. So basically, the Supreme Court was saying to Congress, this isn't something for us to deal with. This is something that you should deal with. So if you want to do something about it, figure it out, get together, get enough votes, and pass it. So it was not the first, but it was a continuation of this Supreme Court telling Congress, do your job.
Yeah.
Just do your job.
Yeah, yeah.
Find it.
It sounds like this is a key issue for Ag Chair G.T. Thompson, good friend of the show. One of his top three priorities when thinking about the new upcoming Farm Bill. That's good to hear. I'd like to see Farm Bill, we're calling it 2.0 now.
Right.
And our guest, Matt Grill, was hopefully looking at fall, maybe to see something move.
Right. That might be a little optimistic, but it would certainly be nice if we can move Farm Bill provisions forward and get a five-year bill with the certainty that comes with it and some of these legislative fixes to issues that need to be fixed. And Prop 12 is one of them.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Tanner Emke from CoBank joined us then. It sounds like not completely in the clear, not exactly easy street, but not exactly the 80s either out there in the farm economy, particularly talking about loan volume and things like that. From my perspective,
now,
it seems like we're chugging along here.
Yeah. Now, I do want to stress this. We know that there is stress out there, and if you are feeling it on your farm, it feels like crap.
Yes.
We get that. We absolutely get that. But when you look at the industry on a whole, there are some that have tried to compare the current conditions to those of the 1980s. And we're just not there.
Yeah.
We're not there. Again, as I say that, I know that there are some that are in really tough financial stress right now, but the industry as a whole is not there. Now, the warning signs that Tanner was talking about, I think are very important, where you look at some of the financing options available through like Deere or Case or whoever, one of the retailers out there. There are some deals out there that are starting to tighten up, and as they tighten up, it's going to mean that getting the lending package that works, that a farmer might want, that might be more difficult going forward than what it has been.
Coming right up on Crop Tour, buddy boy.
Yeah,
won't be
we
long
are.
Now, and you're going to find out all about that August weather, aren't you, baby?
Yeah, no doubt. And the problem is, I mean, we've already got several forecasters that have said, enjoy the cool weather while you can, because when we get to that time of the year, it's probably going to be a little muggy out there again. So, enjoy it while we can. There's no doubt about that. Hey, thank you so much for listening this morning. Certainly appreciate it. Come back this afternoon, because we are going to have a conversation with Rick Brock from the Brock Report. He'll sort out what's going on in these markets. Tomorrow morning, we've got the free-for-all. Wiesmeyer, Haney, Michelson, and me right here on AgriTalk.
Hear that? Those are Pioneer brand soybean and corn fields, the number one seed brand in the U.S., ready to harvest. The Combine reaps and separates row after row of innovative genetics. Soybeans fall into bins and bounce off the tin with unbeatable yields. Pioneer corn and soybean seed is the number one brand in the U.S. This is what it sounds like to plant number one. Learn more at pioneer.com/topcrop.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Do you know how America became the best country on God's green earth? We made things, from automobiles to airplanes to textiles. We were the manufacturing epicenter of the world, the innovators that every other country turned to. I'm Katie Lyon, co-founder of Allegiance Flag Supply, and I'm here to tell you that the American spirit is alive and well at Allegiance, where we make American flags 100% in America. When you fly your American flag from Allegiance Flag Supply, you're not just honoring our country. You're supporting American men and women who proudly make the highest quality American flags, period. True patriots who put care into every stitch. See our full story at showallegiance.com and learn about our 100% American-based supply chain. Fly your flag from showallegiance.com with pride, because every flag says manufacturing is still alive and well in the U.S., and we are still the greatest country. Save $35 on your American flag set when you go to showallegiance.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen with reports.